Life will never be finer than the quality of the closet. If you have a poor closet time, and remember the metaphor that Jesus used, he said, when you go into your closet. So it's not necessarily a closet, you know, where you keep your clothes or you keep your unwanted things stored, but the closet is symbolic of where do you pray. It could be your dining room table. It can be your living room couch. It could be outside on your porch. But where is your closet at? And he says that life will never be finer than the quality of the closet.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze continues our series, Weapons of Our Warfare. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Prayer as a Weapon.
In our series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, lets us know that God has given us weapons to fight this battle with. Last week, we looked at the Bible as a weapon. The Bible as a weapon. And so I pray that some of you this week use the Bible as a weapon to do spiritual warfare. This week, we are going to look at prayer as a weapon. Prayer as a weapon. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul speaks about the armor of God. And he talks about the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel shoes. He gives us all of the pieces of armor. And after he gets finished listing the armor, in verse 18, notice what he says. So he's talked about this warfare that we're in, right? He says, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 12, he says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against dark powers, all right? And then after all that, he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Isn't it amazing how that after he details the armor, he finishes it off with prayer? This lets us know that prayer is a weapon. So my question to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, are you using prayer as a weapon? Sad to say that a statistic was given that said the majority of pastors, and when they said the majority, 80% pray for less than 15 minutes a day. That's pastors. Now, if that's pastors, can you imagine what it must be like for the people? So prayer is something that not only are we not using as a weapon, but the fact of the matter is that many of us are not praying. There's a quote that I wanted to read, and it's by E.M. Bounds. It's a rather lengthy quote, but I thought that it was important for us to just look at this, and it really puts in perspective where we are on this issue of prayer. He says, many of those occupying prominent positions in church life are not praying men and women. Now, I was reading this, and I said, I could preach a whole sermon just on this. I could stop at every point and preach a message on this right here. And E.M. Bounds, he is one of the great authors on prayer. He has written many books on prayer. He said, it is greatly feared that much of the work of the church is being done, now listen to this, by those who are perfect strangers to the closet. That much of church work that's being done is being done by people who are not spending any time in the closet. And here the closet is a metaphor for prayer. Small wonder that the work does not succeed. While it may be true that many in church say prayers, it is equally true that their praying is of the stereotyped order. Their prayers may be charged with sentiment, but they are tame, timid, and without fire or force. In all God's plans for human redemption, he proposes that men pray. The men are to pray in every place, in the church, in the closet, in the home, on sacred days, and on secular days. All things and everything are dependent on the measure of men's praying. Prayer is the genius and mainspring of life. This is powerful right here. This is powerful right here. We pray as we live, and we live as we pray. We pray as we live, and we live as we pray. Boy, that speaks volumes right there. Life will never be finer than the quality of the closet. If you have a poor closet time, and remember the metaphor that Jesus used, he said, when you go into your closet. So it's not necessarily a closet, you know, where you keep your clothes or you keep your unwanted things stored, but the closet is symbolic of where do you pray. It could be your dining room table. It can be your living room couch. It could be outside on your porch. But where is your closet at? And he says that life will never be finer than the quality of the closet. The mercury, and you know what mercury is, it's that little thing that goes up and down on the thermometer. The mercury of life will rise only by the warmth of the closet. The mercury of life, your life, will only rise to the warmth of your closet. If you're not spending time in prayer, if you're not spending time in the closet, it's a cold place, and the mercury is going to be low. The mercury of life will rise only by the warmth of the closet. Persistent non-praying eventually will depress life below zero. So you will be not only sub-freezing, you will be below zero. And so we have to ask the question, how's your prayer life? How much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent in prayer today? If we're saying that prayer is a weapon, why is it that God's people are not using prayer to go out and fight the battle? The body of Christ is under attack. There's a call for all hands to be on deck. All leaves are canceled. All furloughs are over. Christian soldiers are called to their battle positions. We have to load our weapons and say, ready, aim, not fire, but ready, aim, let's pray. We need God's people to show up for prayer. But oftentimes we want to argue about how do you pray? What posture do you pray in? What words do you use? I heard this poem that I thought was very interesting because it says it don't make any difference. All the other stuff is insignificant, but the main thing that we need to be concerned about is praying. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. Nay, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms with rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with his eyes fast closed and his head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing to the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's well head first, said Cyril Brown, with both my heels sticking up and my head pointing down. And I done prayed right then and there the best prayer I ever said, The prayingest prayer I ever prayed was standing on my head. And so we need to realize we can argue and debate about all the different things, methods, manners of prayer, but the bottom line is that God has called us to pray. That prayer is a weapon. We see that Jesus used prayer as a weapon. In Luke 22, verses 31 through 32, Jesus is in a conversation with Simon Peter, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Jesus realized that the disciples were in a warfare. He realized that the disciples were in the battle. And notice what he said. Satan desires to have you that he might sift you like wheat. The whole idea of sifting as wheat. Once wheat was ground, it was put into a sieve. And the farmer would shake that sieve violently, and the wheat would fall through, but the chaff would remain on top of it. And so after all the wheat had fallen to the ground or in a blanket that they had, the farmer would then throw the chaff up in the air, and guess what would happen to it? It would be blown away by the wind. Well, what did Jesus tell Peter? He said, Satan desires to shake you like wheat. Satan is after you, and he wants to violently shake your life so that there's nothing left but the chaff, and that the chaff is just blown away. The disciples were in spiritual warfare. And Jesus said, I haven't read the Bible for you. I haven't gone out and provided fish and loaves for you. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I have prayed for you. This is using prayer as a weapon. That Jesus prayed. And what did he pray? He said that when you are tempted or when that you are tested, that your strength fail not. That's a warfare prayer. And we need to realize that God has given us this powerful weapon of prayer, and we have to ask the question, are we using it for his honor and for his glory? This is amazing. Prayer puts the artillery of God at our disposal. When the child of God prays in the will of God, he has access to all the resources of God. And he has this unique ability, this awesome ability to tap into the storehouse of God's power. Look in your notes where it says prayer puts the artillery of God at our disposal. Prayer brings us or brings our request in line with the will of God. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hear whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. We need to realize, what does prayer do? Prayer does not bring our will to God. But prayer lets us understand what God's will is for us. And that when we understand what God's will is, that's when we begin to pray like we've never prayed before. God has called us to seek him and to look for him, and that prayer brings us the assurance that if we are praying according to God's will, that we will have what we ask. And see, this is the reason why many of us don't get what we ask, because we're not praying according to the will of God. So the first thing that I need to do, if I'm going to use prayer as a weapon, I need to learn how to get in touch with God. I need to be able to discern what is God's will, because once I understand God's will, then I can pray with power. I ask God for strength, that I may achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked God for riches that I might be happy. He gave me poverty that I might be wise. I asked God for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked God for the things in life that I might enjoy. I was given none of the things that I could enjoy. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered, and I, among all men, are most richly blessed. See, we pray for things that we can consume upon ourselves, and we don't seek the will of God in prayer. We seek what's best for us. You know, when we pray, you know, we pray for God to make it easy on me. God to lighten my situation. And maybe that's not God's will at that particular time. That's why it's important that we connect with the will of God. Now, I need you to understand this because I'm going somewhere. I need you to understand this. Is there a handkerchief or a towel down there? Thank you, brother. Didn't expect to be preaching this hard this morning. But I need you to understand that you got to connect with the will of God. See, when we pray, you know, Lord, make my wife right. Lord, make my husband right. When we pray, Lord, touch my children. You know, we need to find out what is the heart of God. What is God's will for this situation? And when we pray according to God's will, watch this. Watch this. Go to that next slide. Where God's will is at work, God's resources are provided. If you're praying out of the will of God, he's not going to connect. Why in the world would God connect his resources with you when you're not even praying according to his will? But when you line up with the will of God, you have all the resources of heaven at your side. Psalm 124. Turn to Psalm 124. I read through the Psalms several times, and I know I read this, but it just escaped me until yesterday when I was reading Psalm 124. Psalm 124. This is good, man. This is good. Verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. What did the psalmist say? God is on our side. God is on our side. Now, go to the very last verse, the very last verse. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying, first of all, that God is on my side. But let me tell you about my God. My God is the one who made heaven and earth. My God is one who has all power. My God is one who has all the resources of heaven. My God is the one who rose the mountains, who cut the valleys, who made the rivers, who causes the stars to come out. My God is the one who makes the sun to shine. My God is the one who mountains melt like wax in his presence. Let me tell you about my God. And this God is on my side. So what is that saying? That's saying, I have all of the resources. Put that slide back up there again. I have all of the resources of God at my side. I don't know about you, but that's a powerful truth. That if I line up and pray according to the will of God, that whatever God has is at my disposal. You know, one of my favorite shows is Shark Tank. And I like Shark Tank. You know, I'm going to invent something one day, and I'm going to go on there. I told my wife, I had about 5 inventions that I could have had on there already. But they go on there, people come up with these ideas, and they go on there, and they try to get these sharks, these millionaires, to give them money to promote their product, whatever it might be. And sometimes the people don't go on there for the money. And that might be a shock to you. But you know why they go on there? Because they have a particular shark in mind that is an expertise in the area where they are dealing. And so more, for some people, more than to get a financial deal, they just want to get Mark Cuban, or they want to get Damon John, you know, to work with them. Because these are guys that have the know. These are guys who have the resources to get them to where they want to be. And so sometimes the sharks will say, look, you need to just partner with me for what I can do for you. I can take you places, and I have resources that you can never get apart from me. And you know what? That's the same thing with God. That God can take us places, and God has resources that we could never get by ourselves. And so when we line up with His will, when we pray according to His will, all of the resources of God are at our disposal. Oh, man, that's a powerful truth. The Lord God is on our side. Amen. I like this one slide. I saw this the other day. If you go to let me say this. What are the benefits of prayer? Then I'm going to show you this one slide. What are the benefits of using prayer as a weapon? That when we're under attack, that God will strengthen us. And when we're on the attack, God will strengthen us. So whether you're under attack or on the attack, that God will strengthen you. Go to that next slide. I like this right here. The task ahead of you is never as great as the power behind you. Oh, man. That when you are walking according to God's plans and God's purposes, that the power that's behind you is never greater than anything that you can face. Again, why is that? Because you have all of the resources of God at your disposal. But there's one thing I want to say before I get into the main part of my message, and that is this. Just let me talk very briefly, just for a second. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but on the life of the prayer warrior. See, in order for you to be able to tap into the resources of God, you have to have a certain kind of life. You know, the average, going back to the average pastor prays for less than 15 minutes a day. So, you know, if you want to write it down, or if you just want to jot it down in your mind, what's the average that you pray a day? Now, again, you know, I know some people will say, well, I just pray as I go. I'm praying all day long. And that's fine. But, you know, there's a lot of illustrations in the scripture where people, you know, he said, be still and know that I'm God. That means you're not driving a car. That means you're not running the vacuum cleaner. That means that you're not washing dishes. He said, be still and know that I'm God. And so how much time are we actually spending quietly in the presence of the Lord? If we're going to do this, that there has to be 4 things true about our life. The first thing, we have to have devoted life. That you have to, in your heart, make a commitment to prayer. Colossians 4:2, Paul said, devote yourselves to prayer. He wasn't talking to preachers. He wasn't...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Prayer as a Weapon. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Prayer as a Weapon, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Prayer as a Weapon. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Prayer as a Weapon, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire series, Weapons of Our Warfare. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Angered in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, angeredinjesus.org, or send it to Angered in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is angeredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Angered in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Angered in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.